I mean, I can tell you where, let me tell you where, I know where he's
not.
I'll tell you where I'm starting. Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph to Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Good thing you have the Yom Tov coming up. Says the Mishnah. Beishamai and Beishamai say the following. Otherwise we're gonna be perpetually behind. So we need to move forward. So says the Mishnah. Gotta pack up the tent, packing up the tent, and we're moving forward. Says the Mishnah. Beishamai or Beishamai say the following. Tavlin nidochin b'madoch shel eitz. So I will say again, remember. We have the idea now, the Mishnah is talking about over here, the concept of grinding up different types of spices on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says you can go ahead and you can grind up tavlin. Tavlin are spices. Nidochin could be ground. The Madoch Shel Eitz, a wooden pestle. But I will say the idea is according to Beis Shammai, if you look at Rashi says Madoch Hu Buchna, a pestle. Shemeichin bo kidarko ve'in tzoruch. Now, if you look over here, the Mesoras Hashas changes this a little bit. Ve'in tzorich ela shinui zuta. It requires only a small deviation. So I will say, under normal circumstances, you would use a stone pestle to grind up spices. But on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai requires a little bit of a shinui, and therefore the shinui is just you use a wooden pestle instead. Va'amelach and salt. Salt, on the other hand, and Rashi points out over here that they're dealing with a situation of where you have chunks of salt. So you have chunks of salt, you have to go ahead and now grind it up to be able to use it. So Beis Shammai requires even a greater shinui by salt. And salt requires either pach, Rashi points out, pach shel cheres is an earthenware flask. You could go ahead and grind it up in an earthenware flask. Or eitz paror is a large wooden spoon. So according to Beis Shammai, again, you only need a minor shinui to grind up spices. You need a major shinui to go ahead and grind up salt. So Beis Hillel say, tavlin nidochin kidarkon. So Beis Hillel say that spices can be ground up in their regular fashion without a shinui. B'madoch shel even, even with a wooden pestle. V'hamelach, but salt, b'madoch shel eitz. So both say, they still say regular spices can be ground without any kind of shinui. Salt requires a minor shinui, but the minor shinui is what? Instead of using a stone pestle, you'll go ahead and you'll use a wooden pestle. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the Kuli Alma, Mihas Melach Bayashina. Now what's interesting about this is, whereas Bisham and Basil may disagree about the process, they agree on what? That salt, in order to grind up salt on Yom Tov, you require a shinui. It requires some type of significant change. Remember, according to Beis Shammai, what do you have to do? Either earthenware flask or wooden spoon, or a dramatic shinui. According to Beis Hillel, wooden pestle instead of the stone pestle. But both agree you need a shinui. My time, what's the reason for this? Rav Huna and Rav Chista dispute this, and they say the following. Chadom, our one opinion said, Kol HaKederos Kulan Tzvichos Melach. So one opinion said, because every cooked dish requires salt, but yet not every cooked dish requires spices. So we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi, kol hakederos, kol minei tavshil, tzrichos melach, all different types of cooked food require salt. Hilchach me'esmol, haviyada de'ibayle leducha. Therefore, again, already Erev Yom Tov, you should have known what? You should know that you're going to require salt, and therefore you should have ground it up then. And I will say again something very important, which is, remember, with the Gemara saying over here is according to this approach, anything that you knew you were going to need to do before Yom Tov, you should have really done before Yom Tov. Therefore, the Maaseh, because you know you're going to need salt, you should have ground up the salt prior to Yom Tov, but what? And therefore, as opposed to spices. Spices, you don't know. You may cook a dish on Yom Tov. Remember, you cook on Yom Tov. You may cook a dish that doesn't require any spices. Therefore, because everyone knew they were going to need salt, you should have done it Erev Yom Tov. And if you didn't do it Erev Yom Tov, you could do it on Yom Tov. But what? You must employ a shinui. According to Beis Shammai, a dramatic shinui of using either the earthenware flask or the wooden spoon. According to Beis Hillel, a less dramatic shinui of simply using a wooden pestle instead of a stone one. V'chadamar, the other opinion said, no. Kala tavlin mafigin taimon, umelach ein mafiga taimon. And the other opinion said, no, the reason why both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that you need a shinui by salt and not by spices is because, Rav Osai, spices lose their flavor. So therefore, again, remember, the only time you're obligated to go ahead and do something before Yom Tov is when it can be achieved before Yom Tov with the same results. But for argument's sake, if you can't achieve the act with the same results before Yom Tov, you're permitted to do it on Yom Tov. Remember, we dealt with this last week with the case of baking bread. Technically, you could bake bread on Erev Yom Tov, but freshly baked bread is obviously better, qualitatively better than day-old bread, and therefore the Ma'aseh can do it on Yom Tov. The second opinion says, the reason you don't have to ground up spices, even though you know you're going to need them on Erev Yom Tov, even though you know you're going to need them on Yom Tov, is why? Because the Ma'aseh, they lose their potency, I don't know, maybe flavor. They lose their flavor. However, again, salt does not lose its flavor. Therefore, it should be ground up prior to Yom Tov. Look at Rashi. So he says, "Ve'ein kol kadira." I'm sorry, "Mefikin taimon, memirin taimon, im yeduchan me'etmol." They go ahead and they lose their taste if they're ground up from yesterday. Reichol lo namar. Even though, again, sometimes the smell, the fragrance may be strong, but the taste may dwindle. So the Gemara says, "May binayu." We're supposed to say again. Everybody's agreeing. Both Bisham and Sol agree that if you grind spices on Yom Tov, there is no need for a shinui. Both agree, let me say that differently. Both agree that if you grind salt on Yom Tov, you require a shinui. Why is that? So we have two different opinions. According to first opinion, because you knew you were going to need salt, because all cooked dishes require salt, therefore you should have done it before Yom Tov. Second opinion, because the taste of salt is not compromised if it is ground yesterday, therefore you should have done it yesterday. My benayu, what's practical difference in these two opinions? Ika benayu, diyada my kedera by levashule. So practical difference, the one of us is what? Is where, let's say you knew exactly, you had your Yom Tov menu planned. And therefore, again, what does that mean? I knew exactly which spices I was going to need already on Erev Yom Tov. So also, according to the first opinion, that says that the reason you have to grind salt to the shinoi on Yom Tov is because you knew you needed salt beforehand. You should have done it beforehand, but spices, who knows what you're going to need. See, if you know what you're going to need, then according to that first opinion, what? You should have ground an Erev Yom Tov, and therefore if you didn't, then what? You have to use a shinoi. Either, right, it depends. Perhaps according to Beis Shammai, you wouldn't be able, but at least according to Beis Hillel, you'd have to grind it with a shinoi. However, again, furthermore, a second nafkamina, inami bimorika. The other possibility is morika. What's morika? Morika is saffron. So apparently, again, the spice of saffron does not go ahead and, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi, lose its, no Rashi here. Okay, yeah, inami. I'm sorry, it's Rashi inami. Tavlin shel morika ibkinah, sheyesh kider shem mitavlin osam bekarkum. Karkum is another word for saffron. Ve'eno mafik taimo. So we'll say saffron is an example of an herb or a spice that does not lose its flavor. So we'll say according to the first approach, you still wouldn't have to grind an Erev Yom Tov. But according to the second approach, which said the reason you're permitted to grind spices on Yom Tov without a shinui is because you can't do it yesterday. Why? Because it loses its flavor. That only applies to a spice that loses its flavor. The inference would seem to be what? That if the spice could be ground prior to Erev Yom Tov without compromising the quality of the spice, then indeed you'd be obligated to do that. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda said to him, Shmuel, Kol nidochin, nidochin kedarkan v'afilu melach. So we'll say, now we have a statement in the name of Shmuel that says, anything that needs to be ground could be ground kedarkan in its normative fashion, meaning without the shinui, even salt. So Shmuel's coming and arguing even pretty much on what would appear to have been the sheet of Beis Hillel. Because even Beis Hillel says you could grind salt, you could grind spices without any shinui, agrees that salt needs some level of shinui. Shmuel disagrees. V'ha amrit melach b'ayah shinui. But the Gemara says, one second. But we already said before in the Mishnah that everyone agrees that melach, that salt, requires some kind of shinui. So the Gemara says, hu da amr ki ay tana. Shmuel holds like the following tana. Desanya. Amr Rabbi Meir. Lo nech lo kubei shayim Beis Hillel. Al hani dochen. Sheni dochen kedarkon umelach imayim. So we'll say, now comes along Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir has a different version of the machlokes b'shan beis hillel. In Rabbi Meir's version, b'shan beis hillel, both agree that anything that needs to be ground, meaning all spices, can be ground on Yom Tov in a normative fashion. Umelach imayim. And together with that, you could also go ahead and grind salt. So if you're already grinding your pepper, your whatever else, you could grind salt together with it. Lo nechluku, the machlokes b'shan beis hillel is in what case? Ela ledocha bifnei atzma. To grind salt by itself. Shveshamai omrim melach bepach ube eitz haporor litzli avalo l'kedera. Because Rav Sabbeis Shammai says you could grind salt on Yom Tov, but you can only grind it. You can only grind it using an earthenware flask or a wooden spoon, which is a dramatic shin. I mean, you're not using a pestle at all. Furthermore, there's another qualification, which is let's sleeve below the kedera. Also, we had this last week. Remember, what does that mean? You could grind enough salt necessary to roast meat, which is what they will say, a very small amount of salt. Remember, again, we saw that in the sugya of actually salting the meat to draw out the blood. Under normal circumstances, you need a lot of salt in order to be able to salt meat to draw out the blood, except if you're roasting it on a fire. Because if you're roasting on a fire, the fire itself draws out the majority of the blood. You only need a very small amount of salt. So Beis Shammai says, you could grind salt on Yom Tov, but number one, you have to do with the shino, and number two, you could only grind a small amount of salt, the amount necessary for tzli. Or Beis Hillel say, b'chol davar. Beis Hillel say, l'maisa, you can go, now, I'll say, this wording is going to be very intriguing. Beis Hillel says, no, you can go ahead. Now, what it sounds like Beis Hillel is saying is, you could grind salt, b'chol davar, in any way. Now, in any way sounds like what? That you could use the mortar, you could use whatever you want. Does that make sense? That Beis Hillel actually holds that you could grind salt with anything, meaning with any utensil. Someone says, Ela ema lichol davar. No. What Beis Hillel meant, it's amazing what one letter could do. Beis Hillel did not mean to say that you could grind salt bichol davar. Rather, what Beis Hillel meant to say was what? You could grind salt lichol davar. That as opposed to Beis Shammai, who puts a cap not just on how you grind the salt, but what? How much salt you're going to grind. Beis Hillel holds, you may grind the salt, and you may grind as much salt as you need. Even enough salt, l'kedera. Look at Rashi, l'chol davar, v'afilu l'kedera. Bless you. And even enough salt to go and create for a cooked dish. Okay, fine. Amri ravacha bardula libre. So we'll say again, now what we see, just interestingly enough, is another version of the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. In our Mishnah's version of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, so Beis Shammai Beis Hillel disagreed both on spices as well as on salt. Beis Shammai says you require a shinui to a wooden pestle by spices, and by salt, an even more dramatic shinui to an earthenware flask or a wooden spoon. According to Beis Hillel, you could go ahead and ground spices in a normal way, but melach, salt, does require a shinui to a wooden pestle. According to this version of Rabbi Meir, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel agree that l'maisa you can go ahead and grind salt and grind together with spices in a normative fashion. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is how do you grind salt by itself. Beis Shammai, you have to go ahead and use the wooden spoon or the earthenware flask, and you can only grind enough for tzli. Beis Hillel, you could grind as much salt as you want. Amrali Rav Acha bar Gilo libre. Rav Acha bar Gilo said to his son, So what Rav Acha bar Gilo said to his son, when you go ahead and you grind up, when you grind up salt, here's what you should do. Atzli etzluye vidoch. Look at Rashi. Hita hamaducha al tzida. Take the pestle. We'll say, normally, how would you use a pestle? You go ahead and you use a pestle, you hold it in your hand, and you crush stuff. So what Rav Acha bar Gilo was telling his son is, if you're going to grind something on Yom Tov, do me a favor, grind with the side of the pestle. Take the pestle, instead of holding the pestle like this, well, like this, hold it like this, and push down on the items you're trying to go ahead and grind. Why? Look at Rashi. Atzli atzli evadoch, hita hamaducha al tzida. Literally, tilt the pestle on its side. Disavar kishmuel da amar nidochas kedarka b'maduch sho'aven. Umiu shinui zuta b'ayli shenuyei. So Rav Acha bar Gilo told his son, you know what? Even though technically speaking, you could go and you could grind the spices in the normal way, better to employ some small shinui. So use the side of the pestle instead of the ends of the pestle. Okay. Rav Sheshes shama kol buchna. Rav Sheshes heard the sound of a pestle. He heard the sound of a pestle grinding up spices. Amarle, hi, lav migaveta basayhu. He said, I know one thing for sure, that's not coming from my house. Right? The sound of that grinding is not coming from my house. I the Gemara says, 1 second. The Dilma Atzluye Atzli. How does Rav Sheshes know? Rav Sheshes seems to be saying, look at Rashi, hi lav migaveta basayhu. Yodea ani shein zebisok basi. I know that sound of the grinding is not coming from my house. Sha'asarti aleim ladoch bimaduch shal evan below shinui. Because I prohibited, I prohibited the members of my household to grind with a stone pestle without any kind of shinui. So the Gemara says, well, one second. The Dilma Atzli Atzli. But how does Rav Sheshi know? Maybe the sound that he's hearing is the sound of a shinui. Maybe they're using the side of the pestle and not the edge of the pestle. To which the Gemara says, the Havitzalil Kale. Because again, this, I guess that there's a distinct, literally means the sound was clear. There's a distinct sound that comes, I guess, from the banging of the pestle against the mortar. There's a banging, and that sound is not the sound, same sound that you make when using the side of the pestle. And the sound that he heard was someone mamish pounding in the regular way. The Dilma Tavlin Havu. Maybe the sound. Now, also remember, this whole discussion about a shinui is dafka by melach. Maybe it was somebody grinding spices and herbs, which are permitted to go out and be ground, at least according to Beis Hillel. On Yom Tov, even without a shinui, to which the Gemara says, V'dilma tavlin, havu tavlin navuchi menavayach kalayu. So it's the same idea. Apparently, the breaking apart of spices also produces a distinct sound. See, he knew that this was the sound, again, of a pestle being used in a regular way against salt, and now that he's supposed to say, obviously, it sounds strange to us that people will be able to discern this type of sound. But then again, how many of us actually go ahead and pound our own salt and pound our own spices? And even again, those who do pepper and things like that, we're doing it in a mechanized thing. It's not. So the point is, they knew what these things hurt sounded like. Tan Rabbanan, ein osin tisni. You can't make tisni on Yom Tov. I know that's a big disappointment for many of you. You can't make tisni. It's supposed to say, what's tisni? Look at Rashi. I know. You'll go home, you'll have to take it off the Yom Tov menu. Ein osin tisni, Rashi says, right, quotes, be Yom Tov. Shetorach gadolu, shekote shachitin ad shenechlokim alid alif le'echod le'arba. So we'll say, apparently, again, tisni is a type of split grain dish that was made by splitting each one kernel into four pieces. The idea is it's an avoda. It takes a lot of work to make tisni. So therefore, you can't go ahead and make tisni. And Rashi says the reason for it is it's torach gadol. It's an incredible amount of exertion. So if you want your tisni, you better get busy today. Mm-hmm. You can make tisni before Yom Tov, but not on Yom Tov itself. Ve'en kochin b'machteshes. And furthermore, you may not go ahead and grind anything up in a mortar. The Rabbos say, now the Gemara says, tarti. Now, what's interesting is this brisa telling me two separate things? Or it sounds like it's telling me two separate things. You can't make tisni, and you can't grind things up in a mortar. Look at Rashi, tarti. Shnei dvar mieshkan, lo ze domo le ze katoni, ve'ein osin tisni, ha'chilka v'daisa shapir dami, de'in tircha meruba, v'hanetani, ein kochin. So mostly, here's what's interesting. When the brisa prohibits the making of tisni, the reason I can't make tisni is because apparently tisni requires an incredible amount of exertion, because literally you're splitting each kernel into four. But there are other types of grain dishes that we call, for example, we'll see them later on, chilka and daisa. This is where it requires grinding of grain, but it's not as much intense exertion. So when the brisa says you can't make tisni, it sounds like I can make daisa, I can make chilka. But yet when the brisa says that you can't go ahead and grind anything up in a mortar, that makes it sound like what? That everything is asur. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, "Halchi kamer." This is what I mean to say. T'ma tam ein osin tisni. Why can't you go ahead and make tisni on Yom Tov? Lefi she'in kochin b'machteshes. Because Rabbi says you can't grind things up in a mortar on Yom Tov. I said the Gemara says, "Velema in kochin b'machteshes." So why don't you just say straight up that you can't use a mortar on Yom Tov? Itani in kochin b'machteshes. Excuse me. Hava amina. I would have thought hani mili machteshes gedola. Machteshes gedola. Amrath, that only applies to what? That only applies to a large grinder, or a large mortar. Ava machteshes kitana, but a small mortar, ema shapir dami. Amrath, that is okay. Kamash malon, it's not okay. Look at Rashi Rabosai. Kamash malon, ein osin tisni, klalafisha in kochin shum kidisha machteshes. V'hach machteshes al karchach loshna gidola v'loshna kitana. So what the price seems to be indicating to us is what? You can't make tisni because l'maisa, again, it's an incredible amount of exertion. Not only that, in reality, you can't use the mortar at all, whether it be a large mortar or a small mortar on Yom Tov. Gemara says, one second. V'atanya en kochin b'machteshes gidola aval kochin b'machteshes kitana. But we have a brisa that contradicts this, because we have a brisa that explicitly says you may not use a large mortar, but you can use a small mortar on Yom Tov. Now, what would be the chilek in answering one versus the other? the large mortar is used for grinding up large quantities of items. That you can't use on Yom Tov. Why? Because the Maaseh on Yom Tov, although you could grind things, you're limited to what? That's what you need for Yom Tov. But you can't go and start grinding on a large scale. So I understand that distinction. You can't use the large mortar, but you can use the small mortar. So we'll say this contradicts, because the Braisa seemed to just prohibit what? The usage of all mortars. Now we, but yet we have another Braisa that says you can use the large, the small mortar, but not the large mortar. Amar Abai, no. Kitanya nami masnisa makteshes gedola tanya. In reality, our Braisa is answering also makteshes gedola, and therefore the Braisa means to say is the following. The Braisa is, when the Braisa says you can't go ahead and grind things on Yom Tov, that's talking about the use of a large grinder. That you can't use on Yom Tov, because since that is used for high volume grinding, the concern is you may come to go ahead and grind things not just for Yom Tov, but for beyond as well, and that's usser. But when the Braisa said that you can't make tisni, the chap was what? You can't make tisni even in what? Even in a small grinder. Because since tisni is very labor intensive, it's tircha yisera, therefore even if you're using a small grinder, you can't use any other. So both like, the way where the Gemara is holding right over here is, right now, is that Lamaisa, a large grinder can't be used at all, even if you're only grinding a small amount of food or of spices. A small grinder can be used, except if what? Except for an item that requires an incredible amount of exertion, which you can't do in Yom Tov, like tisni. Tanya. Amadeus. Tanya. Rava Amar Rava says, Lokasha. I'm sorry, that's actually Mahtesh's book. Rava Amar Rava says, Lokasha. It's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Look at Rashi. Rava Amar, the olam matam ka Amar ubiketana namikoi the ka Amar in kochin kaldra minon alava kochin. So both say, Rava says, no. Let's go back. In reality, bless you. When the Braisa said that you can't go ahead and use a grinder on Yom Tov, it was answering the use of large grinders and small grinders. How does that go ahead and shtim with what we just said before, where the Braisa explicitly says that you can use a small grinder, but you can't use a large one? I'll tell you how. Halan v'halahu. This is for us, the people of Babel, and that is for them, the people of Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? Look at Rashi. We'll say, halan, the less lan abdi mizazli. So we'll say it's very interesting. So apparently in Eretz Yisrael, they had a big problem with the fact that, I guess, they used to go ahead and have their domestic help do a lot of the untold preparations. So they would often give over the grinding to avadim, to servants, and the servants were not meticulous in the halacha, and the servants would end up going ahead and grinding things, and they would say that they were using a small pestle, when in fact, what? They were using a larger one. So apparently the rabbis came down on the residents of Eretz Yisrael and told them, you may not use any type of mortars, any type of grinding implements on Yom Tov, because simply, again, the servants there were not trustworthy to go ahead and do it in the right way. As opposed to in Bavel, where apparently, again, they did not have as many servants. People did a lot of their preparations themselves. And therefore, again, in Bavel, the halacha was, you may not use a large grinder, but you may use a small one. So the Gemara says, Rav Papi, ikla lebe mar Shmuel. Rav Papi went to the house of mar Shmuel. I see le daisa. They brought before him daisa. Now, Rabosa, again, daisa. Daisa is a dish of split grains. So they brought before him a daisa, below achil, and he wouldn't eat it. Rabbi said, why wouldn't he eat it? He wouldn't eat it because he was concerned that maybe it was made in the large grinder, in the large pestle. But maybe again the servants made it in the small grinder, in which case it should be fine. He saw the way it was very fine, and this type of fine consistency meant that what? That it was made apparently in a large grinder. Maybe they made it yesterday. Right? So maybe they made it on a large grinder, because once you can use your large grinder, went on Erev Yom Tov. So maybe they made it on Erev Yom Tov. So I will say, apparently, when it comes to peeled grains, so the grains, when they're freshly peeled, 8 o'clock minion? There wasn't an upstairs.
I know.
They didn't have.
They didn't have.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right, 9 o'clock in there, Sasha. You'll get a good seat. All right, so the Gemara says the following. So what happens? So apparently, again, they peeled the grains. So when they peeled the grains look white. As they begin to age a little bit, what happens? As they begin to age, they discolor. He saw from the whiteness of the grain that what? That it was a freshly peeled grain. So the Gemara says, V'paisema, second possibility is, shiny bay marshmuel de'ika pritsusa da'avdi. So that, furthermore, he saw that again there was a problem because Shmuel, the servants in the house of Shmuel were known to be, pritsusa literally means immoral. It doesn't have to mean literally immorality. What it means is they were known to be shady characters. So because they were known to be shady characters, therefore Apapi refused to eat any of the food. So boss, I just, you should know, halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin in this situation, this is Simen Tav Kuf Dalid Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tav Kuf Dalid Sif Aleph writes the following. Very quickly. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Dochines atavlin kidarkon. You could grind up spices in a normal way on Yom Tov. Shim yaduch osal mi ba'od yom yafik timer. But this only applies to spices that if they were ground yesterday would lose their taste, would lose their potency. Aval melach, but salt ino nidoch b'yom tov, cannot be ground on Yom Tov. Ela imkein hita machteshes oshi yaduch bekara ukiyotze ba kadei shishana. If you need to grind salt on Yom Tov, you can, but what? You must employ a shinui. Shim shochach hamelach me'erev yom tov. Lo yofik taimo. Vein shoch is supposed to say, therefore the shumarach paskins halach lamaiso. It sounds like you can go ahead and you could literally grind spices on yom tov without even any kind of shinui. I'm sorry? No, because that would be like melach. Anything that could be done before yom tov with same results should be done before yom tov. Vein shochach kines ha'pilpulin v'lo ha'sachar del barei chayim shalahem. But however, you cannot use specialized grinding utensils. So you may not go ahead and use a pepper grinder, a pepper mill, or a mustard mill, because this resembles weekly activity. So, if you have a regular pestle, so apparently the halacha is you could grind spices on Yom Tov, but you may not go ahead and use a specialized spice grinding. So, what you could not do, for example, on Yom Tov is if you have a specialized pepper grinder, you cannot use that on Yom Tov. But what you can do is if you happen to have a pestle, you can go ahead and a lot of free time, you can go ahead and put that pepper in your bowl, and you can. Some people are content on that fresh pepper, you could grind it up in the bowl. Salach lemais, you could grind spices on Yom Tov, as long as they could not be ground before Yom Tov with the same result. So, for example, saffron apparently would have to be ground on Erev Yom Tov, but you cannot use specialized grinding utensils. Says the Mishnah.
What if you didn't know that you were going to do something with your saffron?
Plan ahead. Says the Mishnah. No, halach lemais, even if you didn't know you could plan ahead, you still can't use a specialized grinding utensil. You'd have to grind again just with a mortar.
Okay, but I mean on the saffron.
Then you'd be able to do that also. With a shinui. Says the Mishnah. Haborer kitnios piyamtov. Someone goes ahead and I will say borer kitnios piyamtov. This is not wearing Pesach mode, so we think of kitnios. Actually, the truth is it means legumes. But what happened, remember, with legumes was what? Was that halach lemaisa, the way they would do it is the legumes have a chaff. So what you would do is you'd have to pick out the chaff, the impurities, because you want to eat the kitnios. Mm-hmm. So says the Mishnah, you can go ahead and do borer on the kitnios biyomtov. You can go ahead and separate out the impurities from the kitnios on Yom Tov. Beishamai or Beishamai say, borer va'ochal. Beishamai says, no. Rabbo say, now, what the Mishnah means over here is that technically speaking, what you could do is, you could go ahead and separate out the, let me be clear on this. You can go ahead and separate out the impurities over here. So Beishamai comes along and says, no, what you have to do is you have to separate out the food and eat. Beisilo says, borer kidarko. Beisilo says you could do borer. Rabbo say, again, under normal circumstances, the way you would do borer is how? You would separate out impurities and leave the food. Beis Shammai says you may not do that. Beis Shammai instead says you could almost like what we have to do on Shabbos. You could remove the food, but you can't remove the impurities. Beis Hillel says no, you could do borer in the normative fashion. Borer kedarko, becheko. Cheko literally means on your lap. What they would sometimes do is they would take the kinyos, they'd spread it out on a sheet on their lap, and they'd go out and they'd remove the impurities like that. Bekanon, kanon is a funnel. Tamchui is a large plate. Avalo betavlo, you may not use a board. Velo benafa, velo bekavra. So Rabbo say, nafa and kavra is a fine sieve and a coarse sieve. So these are specialized borer utensils. So according to Beis Hillel, you can go ahead and what? You can go ahead and you could do bar in a normative way, which means also you could remove impurities on Yom Tov and leave the food there, but you cannot use specialized borer utensils. Rabbi Gamliel says, Af Madiach V'Shola. Rabbi Gamliel says, what can you do? Rabbi Gamliel says, Madiach V'Shola means when you would pour water on the mixture. What happens if you pour water on the mixture? So the impurities float to the top, makes it much easier. Just skim off the impurities, and then you're done. So Rabbi Gamliel says you can even do that in Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Tanya. I'm Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, "Bametar mamurim. When is this so? Kisha ochal. When is what so? Look at Rashi. Bametar mamurim. Rashi says, "Disharo beis hillel litol psoles mamish ula hashlich. When can you go ahead? Can I do me a favor? Go tell Mr. Shum to join us for the rest of Daf Yom. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Gamliel says, when do we say that you can go ahead and when does Beis Hillel allow you to remove the psoles, meaning to mam, we'll say, again, let me be clear on something. Let me clarify one point. The way you would normally do borer, forget about Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yom, the way you would do borer, right? Borer was an act that had to be done by separating the impurities, the chaff from the kernels. How would you do it? You would remove the impurities and leave the chaff there. So that's the classic way of doing borer. Remove the impurities, leave the food. Hilchos Shabbos, we know that. What do you have to do? So I have a salad and I don't like tomatoes. So what do I have to do? I can't pick out the tomatoes. Instead, what can I do? I can remove the other stuff. I can remove the ochel. I can remove the ochel. So the shaila is now, what do you do legabe Yom Tov? So remember, Beis Shammai says that Hilchos Yom Tov mamish resembles Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, the only way to do borer, on Yom Tov is how? Is Lamaisa to go ahead and remove the ochel and leave the psoles. Beis Hillel says, no, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to even what? Remove the psoles. You can, however, again, with one qualification, you may not use specialized borer utensils. See, you can't use a sieve. You can't use a sifter. You can't use a funnel. But you could use your hand, you could use your lap, and you could use a large plate. By the way, what would you do with a large plate? A large plate would just allow you to spread out the stuff, the mixture over a surface, and that allows you to pick out the impurities.
You use a knife?
I'm sorry?
A knife?
A knife?
Like, are you talking about the same thing like if you have string beans and you peel off the end,
no.
And you break it or peel off the end that grows on, that has the stem, solid stem on it?
That's not really even.
That's not what you're talking about.
No, we're talking now over here about a mixture. There's a different way to deal with things like that. That's like the case of meat that has fat on it also. So the easy way to deal with that is, you know, you cut away a little bit of the meat along with the fat. No, here we're just talking about not one item, but a mixture of items. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Gamliel, Bevedar Morim, when is this true that you can go ahead and separate out the psoles, that according to Beis Hillel, you could literally remove the impurities? That's when, Kesha'ocha meruba ala psoles. That is when, Rabbi Osai, that's when there's more food than psoles. So again, Rabbi Osai, what does that mean? That there's actually less exertion involved in removing the impurities. However, ava psoles meruba ala ochel, but if there's more impurities than food, then what? Divrei HaKol, notel es ha'ochel umaniach es ha'psoles. But it's very interesting. Where there is more impurity than food, then what? Everyone agrees that what should you do? You should go ahead and remove the food and leave the psoles. Why, Rabosai? Because in that case, again, the removal of the food requires what? Less exertion, less work. So the Gemara says, psoles meruba ala ochel. Again, if the psoles is more than the ochel, mi'ika man dishari, is the, so Rabosai, let's go back to this case. If there's a situation where there's more psoles, can I literally, is there anyone who will allow me to go ahead and remove the ochel in that case? So the Gemara says, mi kaman deshari. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha dinafish petircha vizuter b'shi'ura. But it's a very interesting case. Look at Rashi. Mi kaman deshari va'afilu leteltelo v'ha betile le me'uta legabe ruba. So what's that? Listen to this. So the Gemara wants to suggest the following. Psoles meruba ala ochel. So we'll say, in a case of where this post, is there anyone who's actually going to allow you to remove the impurities over the food, to which the Gemara says, yes, the nafish petircha v'zitur b'shura. We'll say, you see, under normal circumstances, we assume that whichever item is the majority would require the greater exertion to remove it. But if you have the following situation, you could have a circumstance where the mixture is such that even though, let's say, the psoles is of lesser quantity, but what? the ochel, but yet the psalm is of lesser quantity, but greater exertion. Greater exertion. So what the Gemara essentially suggests is you're permitted to remove the item that requires lesser exertion, whether that item is the majority or whether that item is sometimes even the minority. Depending on the nature of the mixture, you remove whatever it is that's going to require the least amount of exertion. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Af Madiach V'Shole. Rabbi Gamliel says you can even go ahead and what? Pour water on it and skim the impurities off the top. Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar Bereb Tzadok. Rabbi Elazar Bereb Tzadok said, Kach Hayom Min Hagan Shel Beis Rabbi Gamliel. This was the minog of the house of Rabbi Gamliel. Shahayim Mevien Dali Mali Adoshim. They would go ahead and bring a bucket filled with lentils, with legumes. Umatzifin Adav Maim. They'd pour water on top of it. V'nimtzal Ochal Lamato Psolas Lamalo. And the food would be on the bottom. The impurities rise to the top. Ay, Vatanya Ipcha. Ay, but we learn the opposite. Another brisa that says that the food would rise to the top and the impurities would remain on the bottom. To which the Gemara says, Lo Kash, it's not a contradiction. Haba Afra, Haba Gili. One is talking about Rabosai, one is talking about dirt, and one is talking about the rest of the impurities. So Rabosai, there are, the dirt obviously settles to the bottom. So there are some impurities that ultimately remain on the bottom, but again, the most of the impurities, like the chaff, ultimately will rise to the top. So Rabosai, I'll just tell you quickly again, the halacha lemaisa on this, which is quite interesting as well. So this is in Semen Tav Kuf Yod Sif Beis. So here, a lot of halacha today. So in Siman Tav Kuf Yud, Sif Beis, Habore Kitnios B'Yom Tov. If one needs to go ahead and do Bore, one needs to separate out impurities from legumes on Yom Tov, Bore Kidarko, you could do Bore in a normative fashion. What does it mean, normative fashion? You could remove the psolas, meaning you could remove the impurities. How do you do it? Becheiko, on your lap, B'Tamchoy, on a large plate. However, Avalo B'Tavlo, Velo b'nafa, velo b'kavra. But the Rabbah said, you may not use specialized borer instruments. But medram amurim, when is this true that you could do regular borer and remove the psoles? Kisha ochel meruba ala psoles. So Rabbah said, that's when there's more food than psoles. And therefore, again, what? Therefore, there is less exertion removing the psoles. Avalim haisa psoles meruba ala ochel. But if there's more psoles than food, borer es ha ochel, you have to take out the food. Umaneachas ha psoles, you leave the psoles. Avalim haya torach bebiras apsolas mina ochel, yoser mitorach bebiras ochel mina apsolas. But Rabosai, if even though if there's more psolas, but if the removal of the psolas requires more tircha, or the removal of the food requires more tircha than the removal of the psolas, then what? Afa pisha ochel meruba, borer es ha ochel umaniach es apsolas. Rabosai, halach lemaisa, the way we paskin is number one, you're allowed to do regular borer on Yom Tov. Whereas on Shabbos, you can't do regular borer, which means that on Shabbos you can't remove impurities. You have to remove the food from the impurities. On Yom Tov, you are permitted to remove the impurities with two caveats. Number one, you can't use specialized utensils. So again, you could use your lap, you could use a large plate, but you may not go ahead and use a sifter or a sieve. That's caveat number one. And caveat number two, that the removal of the impurities is the least amount of exertion. Because again, if the removal of the food requires less exertion, then lemais, again, that's what we will do. Okay.
And there's no rule about whether you could have done it the day before?
No rule about whether I could have done it. Correct. Again, that's always the rule. The rule is always that lemais, if you can go ahead and do it the day before, you do it the day before. The reason why you could do this is because the act of doing boro without a specialized utensil is in and of itself a shinui. So even though you could have, to any time, you could have done something the day before, but you didn't. You could do it on Yom Tov itself. You just have to employ a shinui. So it's a built-in shinui. Yes. I didn't. I don't know why I didn't read that, but it's a very important caveat actually. So again, in Siman Tav Kuf Yud Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch does write. Thank you, Moshe, for reminding me about that. He says, "Im rotza la'ochlo." Actually, here the caveat is like this: "Im rotza la'ochlo bo bayom." The difference is immediacy is defined a little bit different over here. Whereas on Shabbos, you have to do it immediately right before you're about to eat. On Yom Tov, it doesn't have to be immediate; it just has to be for that day. Says the Mishnah. Well, again, you'll go back and you'll look at these halachos. I'm not doing it justice because obviously, again, we can spend a lot more time on the halacha. I just want to give you a little bit of the bottom line, but please go. That's why I'm giving you the Ma'ariv Makomos. Tav Kuf Yud Beis. Tav Kuf Yud Beis. Say it after me. So, okay, so just, you'll go back, you'll look at it, because again, the truth is, there's a lot more details. I'm just giving you, again, kind of the panoramic view. Says the Mishnah, Beishamai Orm, Beishamai say, Ein Mishalchen B'yom Tov Elamanos. Rabbi say, now we're getting into the discussion about gifts. About gifts. What can you send? Can you send the gift to your fellow on Yom Tov? So the Mishnah says, Beishamai says, you may only send gifts of manos. Rabbi say, what are manos? Rashi says, Ein Mishalchen Dor Ishtoreihu Elamanos. Dover Hamuchan, something that is prepared. So Beishamai says, you can send a gift to someone on Yom Tov, but what? It must be something that is readily usable right then and there. His example is pieces of meat or pieces of fish. Things that are not going to be left till tomorrow that will be used today. Okay, Beisila say no. Mishalchen behema, chaya, v'ov. You can send an animal. I mean, imagine someone shows up at your, right? Thank you so much for inviting me to the meal. Says you to have me. There's a cattle. Should I put it in the backyard? Should I tie it to the front porch? Right? You think where people ask to leave their strollers is a big deal, right? Again, where should I leave the cattle? So Beisila says you could bring anything that is potentially usable. That's the cha. And it has to be potentially usable. So again, a behema, a chaya, an oaf, bein chayin, bein shchutin. These are all gifts you can give a Yom Tov Arabose, because technically speaking, all of these items are technically usable. Furthermore, mishalchin yenos, shmanim usalasas v'kitnios. You can go ahead and give someone a gift of wine. Shmanim are oils. Soles is fine flour. Kitnios, legumes. The only thing you can't do is what? Avalot tivua. They both said the one thing you can't give someone on Yom Tov is grain. Is grain. Why, Rashi? Says avalot tivua. She'enon ru'uya hayom, she'en tochnin b'yom tov, she'ayilo litchon me'et mo'avalot tofik taima. They both said why? Because grain is not usable on Yom Tov. Why is not grain usable on Yom Tov? Because Basil says, because grain is one of those things that could have been ground on Erev Yom Tov without compromising its taste value, and therefore lemaisa, you may not grind it up on Yom Tov. Because of that, grain has no use on Yom Tov, and therefore, says Beis Hillel, you may not give it as a gift. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvua. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can even give a grain of gift. Why? We'll see why in the Rashi says, Shama Yivash Lein B'kder, V'katshe Machteshes Ketana. Because Rabbi says, you can cook grain. There's a way to cook grain. You could cook grain on Yom Tov. And Lemais, again, what can you do? You could just simply go ahead and grind it up in using a small mill. A small mill. So because Rabbi Shimon even allows you to go ahead and use and give a gift of grain. Tani Rabbi Chiel. Rabbi Chiel said, Ubilvad, Shalo Ya'asen B'shrabah. Says very interesting halakha. However, this is, you can give gifts, but you may not go ahead and give a gift with a large group of people. Because Rabbi said, again, look at Rashi. Shura means a row of people. So you can give a gift, but not with a shura, not with a line of people. Why not? Rashi says, Lo Yishlach Ador Adiyan Hashem Harbeh, Do'av Shamilsa, because it has the appearance that what are they doing with the item? They're taking the item to be sold in the marketplace. So therefore, I could send a gift to you on Yom Tov, but I may not go ahead and send it with a large delegation of people, because that looks like I'm about to engage in an act of commerce. Tana, what is a shura? A shura is no less than three people. But so what I said, meaning I can send a gift with one person, with two people, but not with three people, because it looks like they're going out to the marketplace. By Ravashi, what about Tlasa Gavri Vatlasa Mini? What about if I send three people, but I'm sending a different gift with every person? So I'm sending a group, but that's because each person is holding a separate gift. Is that okay or not? What's that? Locha? My teku. So one for Eliel Hanovi. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvua. Rabbi Shimon goes ahead and says that you can even give the gift of grain. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tvua, kigon chitin lasos mehen ludios. So I will say, Rabbi Shimon allows grain. Why? Because you can go ahead and make different cooked dishes even from grain, even without grinding it up. Or if you need to grind it up a little, you can use a small mill. What's an example? This dish called ludios. So whatever ludios is, it's a dish that was ultimately made from grain. Seorim, litein lefnei behemto. Seorim are usable on Yom Tov. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because you could use it for animal feed. You could give it to your animal. Adoshim, lentils are usable. Why? La'asos mehen, resisin. Rabbi Osai, resisin are groats. So the point of Rabbi Shimon says that although, again, yes, the normal use of wheat would be to create flour, and that can't be done on Yom Tov, you could still give someone a gift of grain on Yom Tov, because Lamais, again, there is some type of permissible Yom Tov use. Says the Mishnah, Mishalchin Kalim. Furthermore, you could send utensils. You can send utensils on Yom Tov. And I will say again, just so you should know, I'll just say the quick halacha lamaisa with that. So that also, this is in Siman Tav Kuf Tes Zayin, Sif Aleph. So in Tav Kuf Tes Zayin Tes Yusif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says the following: Mutra l'shloch l'chaveira b'Yom Tov. You could send your friend on Yom Tov. You could send to your friend on Yom Tov. Behema chayev of. Good news. Good news. No more Moscato, right? Let's go for the right. You could go. You could give your friend again a gift of a behema chayev of vafilu chayim, even if they're alive. The yamin shmenos shmanim bislosos akitnios. You can give gifts of wine, gifts of oil, gifts of flour, gifts of legumes. Avalotrua. But sorry, you can't give grain. Why? Because again, grain is normally only usable again in its ground up form. And the grinding of grain ultimately will be in malacha, that's asra yom tov. Therefore, because the grain cannot be prepared in a normative fashion, therefore, lemais, again, it can't be given as a gift. The Mishnah Berurah comments that even though there are some technical uses for unprocessed grain on Yom Tov, lemaisa, because that's not the normative use, therefore it may not be gifted on Yom Tov, says the Mishnah. Meshalchen kelim bein tefurim, meshin tefurim. You can go ahead and send, Rabbos, like kelim now are utensils, are objects. So you can go ahead and send, literally Rashi's begadim, clothing. You can send gifts of clothing on Yom Tov to people, bless you, whether they are tefurim or inon tefurim, whether they are sown or not sown. So we'll discuss in the Gemara exactly what this is used for. The afapi shehin sheishpan kilayim. I will say, interestingly enough, even if what? Even if they're shatnez. Even if they're shatnez, you can go ahead and still give them. Vehinu sorach hamoed. As long as what? As long as they serve some type of Yom Tov purpose. So you can go ahead and you can give someone clothing on Yom Tov as a gift, even if they're not fully sewn, even if they're shatnez, as long as it serves a Yom Tov purpose. However, avalo sandal hamasumar, but you cannot give a spiked sandal. So we'll discuss what this is. Literally, this is a sandal. You know, the best way to describe this is like a sandal, like cleats. Right, this is a sandal again that had spikes on it. We actually saw this in Masechta Shabbos. Mm-hmm. We'll see it again here. You can't give that a Yom Tov. V'lo minal she'eino tafer. And you can't go ahead and give a shoe that is not fully sewn, because Rashi points out it's not usable for anything. If it's not fully sewn, it's not usable as a shoe. Therefore, you can't gift it. Rabbi Huda says, af lo minal lavan. You also can't give someone white shoes. Why? Mipnei she'tzarech uman. I will say, what is white shoes? White shoes, remember again, what they used to do was they would go ahead and they would dye the leather black. So white shoes is shoes that are made of undyed leather. So they can't give that as a gift because, again, that's not usable. No one would wear shoes like that. So therefore, again, you can't give it as a gift on Yom Tov. Zeh Klal, this is the general principle. Kol Shene Osin Bo B'Yom Tov Mishalchen Oso. Anything that you can get benefit from on Yom Tov, you are permitted to send to another as a gift. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Tefurin, I understand when ultimately the clothing is sewn together, meaning when it's fully sewn, Chazal Malbush, I understand again. When it's fully sewn, then it's usable mamish as a garment. First wide line, Shein Tefurin, when it's not sewn, Nami Chazal Kasuye, it's still usable. Why? Because you could use it to cover yourself as much as you can't use a blanket. You can't use it as an article of clothing, but you could use it to cover yourself. However, again, ele kilayim lamai chazu. But what, again, what if the object is shatnez, then what will it be usable for? To which the Gemara says, echi tema chazu lameimach kusei. Maybe you'll say that it's usable. You could place it under you. You could place it on, you could use it as a cushion under you, right? You could use it to rest on. V'atanya, but we learned, lo ya'ale alecha. Torah says that lo ya'aleh alecha shatnez, right? The shatnez literally may not come on you. Aval ata yochol lahatzil tachtecho. So what's interesting enough, the halacha is, you're not allowed to wear shatnez, but what? Technically speaking, you can lay on shatnez, because the prohibition of shatnez is phrased on a way that you may not cover yourself with shatnez. Which sounds like as long as you're not covering yourself with shatnez, you may lay on top of it. So the Gemara says, however, aval amru chachaminu, aval amru chachamim, Asr lasos king, you may not do this. Why? Shema tichroch lo nema al basaro. Because Rabbi said, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if you lay on shatnez, what may come to happen? You may come to wrap yourself in it. So although laying on shatnez technically is biblically permissible, but the rabbis don't want you doing it, what? Lest you come to wrap yourself in it. So the chitema, the mafsik midi beni beni, I say, maybe you'll say, okay, you know what? So I won't lay directly on the cushion, on the shatnez item. Instead, what will I do? I'll place it on the bottom, and then I'll place something else on top of that. Therefore, again, I'm getting benefit from the shatnez item because it's another layer of cushioning. But what? Because it's not directly under me, there's no cushion, I may come to wrap myself in it. They also have the name of the Holy Assembly, the Holy Congregation of Yerushalayim. Afilu eser matzos zu agabezu, ukilayim taktein, aser lishan aleim. That they said about side that again, this rabbinic prohibition includes what? Even if there are 10 layers between you and the shatnez, you still may not lay on top of it. Rabbi say again, this is all midrabanan. All midrabanan. Even though again, when there's 10 layers between the shatnez is over here, and there's 10 more layers between me and the shatnez, there's no way I'm going to come to wrap myself in the shatnez. Nevertheless, that is the rabbinic prohibition. You still can't lay down on top of the shatnez. Mm-hmm. Ella, I will say, not actually what we'll do is we'll stop over here. So just understand, we're ending in the middle of a thought. Because again, remember, we're still trying to figure out, lemaisa, at the end of the day, what is the use? Because again, remember, the Mishnah tells us that halacha lemaisa, you could send any gift that is technically usable on Yom Tov. So I understand, again, if the clothing is sewn, it could be used as clothing. If it's not fully sewn, it could be used as a blanket. But what possible purpose could Kalayim have? So we're still trying to figure that out. We thought originally it could be used to lay down on, but we've seen already that as much as Midoraisa, that's okay. Midrabanan, that's not okay. So tomorrow we'll continue trying to figure out what possible service could the beget of Kilayim serve to me on Yom Tov that would allow it to be gifted to me over the course of Yom Tov? So stop over here. Again, just a reminder, again, tomorrow morning we start 5:45. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, actually, no, just use the one here that's in short because I'm leaving. All right. It's Chelik Vav Mishnah Berurah.
When you come to my condo, please don't bring a cow. They get very upset.
So, 3 years, right?